Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
At least 5 people killed, 200 reported injured, 40 seriously. ABC's Tom Sophie Burridge at the scene.
The scene of that horrific attack has been completely closed off. Police here keeping us back. Germany's leader, Olaf Scholz, saying dozens more of the victims are now fighting for their lives. German officials are not yet calling this a terrorist attack, and there has been no comment from police on the suspect's motive.
President Biden has just signed a stopgap funding bill passed by Congress overnight. The bill avoids a government shutdown just before the holidays. Missing from the deal is President-elect Trump's demand for a debt ceiling increase. The FDA approving the weight loss drug Zepbound to help treat sleep apnea. It's the first medication for the disorder, which affects about 39 million Americans. The FDA calling it a major step forward. This is ABC News. A Missouri judge ruled that the state's near-total abortion ban is unenforceable under a new constitutional amendment in the state protecting abortion rights. The city of Miami is hamming it up for the holidays.
The White House historically pardons turkeys for Thanksgiving, but in South Florida around this time of year, it's a whole different animal. Pigs.
A full mayoral pardon for our lucky friends, Glinda and Elphaba, and wish them many happy, healthy years ahead.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava publicly pardoning the 2 pigs named for the leads of the musical Wicked, sparing them a possible roasting for a traditional Cuban-American Christmas feast. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
The pigs are said to live out their remaining years at an animal shelter near Miami. No one hit all numbers in last night's Mega Millions drawing, meaning that Tuesday's drawing is now expected to be worth $944 million. If someone wins the big jackpot, it'll be the biggest Mega Millions payout ever in December. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hi there, this is Megan Senf, office manager at WMDX.
What's that?
Did you know that the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear?
Fa la 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 la.
Happy holidays from Civic Media.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Cleanup will continue into the new year at the state's largest oil spill in history in Jefferson County. It's owned by Canadian power company Enbridge, and Wisconsin tribes say Enbridge's lines are putting their environment at risk. They've been advocating for their land for years, and now that story is taking center stage, Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
An independent documentary highlights the struggles of northern Wisconsin's Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, including the tribe's lengthy dispute with Canadian energy company Enbridge. The film outlines the 70-plus year battle to get Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline off of tribal land. One person interviewed in the film is Patty Lowe, retired director of the Center for Native American and Indigenous Research at Northwestern University.
Everyone, whether you live in a red or a blue state, or whether you are Native or non-Native, want clean water and clean air, not just for themselves, but for their children and grandchildren.
After years of protest, a federal judge last year gave Enbridge 3 years to shut down the pipeline on the reservation. Last month, the state issued construction permits to reroute Line 5 about 40 miles south of the reservation by 2026. Lowell and others in the film say the proposed reroute isn't enough to protect their lands in nearby areas. Enbridge lawyers and the U.S. government say a 1977 energy treaty with Canada prevents them from shutting down the pipeline. There have been over 20 spills along the Line 5's 645-mile route since 1968, including more than 14,000 gallons in Bad River land. The film Bad River, A Story of Defiance, is streaming on Peacock. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the low 20s. 11 tonight under mostly cloudy skies. Partly sunny and 32 for Sunday. Chance of rain and snow on Monday. It'll be mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 30s. For Tuesday, partly sunny and a high near 35.
Currently, it's 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, you are tuned in to 92.7 FM WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host for the day,
April Kigaya, even though you can't see me.
Uh-huh, but you can see herself in the TikTok. So anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Today, I'm so excited to be back in the studio. I have so much stuff that I want to talk to you guys about. And big ups to Civic Media, who's going to eventually give me more than 60 minutes on the air. Right, Luke? Right, Luke? Are you advocating for me? Not the silence.
Advocating for
more time. I need
know.
More time.
I know. We're looking at the 2025 weekend programming.
Okay, because this is not enough. Because I've been wanting to invite guests. I've been wanting to get all the tea. Yeah. I've been wanting to go investigate.
We got to make sure that April and Clyde, you know, show up on a consistent basis.
We don't even need them.
No, I know. Really, like you two.
What? Who said that? That wasn't me. Oh, no.
I feel attacked.
I need my white boy advocating for me. You hear that, Sage? Luke said he's on my side. Okay, anyway, let's get to the tea. Today I want to discuss, there's a lot in the news. First, I want to acknowledge the victims of the shooting that occurred in Madison over this week at Abundant Christian School. It happened Monday. I was shocked to hear about it. Nothing but sadness. I just have no words for it. And all the people that are impacted, the parents, the teachers, and specifically our children, right? We often think of Christian schools or private schools as predominantly white schools. And this might sound crazy, you guys, but somehow some people think because it's all white or supposedly all white that there's less compassion or consideration should be given. So that, in my opinion, is not true. Children were harmed, and the person who committed the tragedy also harmed themselves, and that person was a kid. And I know that there's a lot of rumors and gossip about this particular individual. And regardless of all of it, right or wrong, what's justifiable or not, this person was 15 years old and obviously in pain. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the difference between white pain and black pain, because, you know, we always have to bring it back to what it looks like compared to black people in the black community, especially locally, because there's always politics at play, and especially around tragedies. It's like every every person that likes to be in front of the camera shows up and just tries to, I don't know. And Madison loves people like that.
Because they want to be in front of the camera.
But we love people. Like, if you're a person who's a narcissistic personality, and you, I don't even know how to say it.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Madison loves fake people. Maybe that's the best way I can say it, but we'll talk.
Maybe performative?
Performative? Yeah, there's the performative word.
Yeah. There you go, Luke.
See, there's my translator.
I got you.
Our producer.
That's my producer coming in with the win. The save, amen. So we're going to talk more about the performativeness around this shooting and all the scams, too. So you guys be careful who you're donating to. So we're going to get back to that. Also, I want to talk to you about this oil spill that happened in November that I didn't even see on the news. Did you hear about it?
Oh,
like 70,000 gallons of oil spilt into the land in Jefferson County between Madison and Milwaukee, I believe it is. So,
what?
Yes, 60,000 of oil, and they knew the thing was broken. So I just, again, more politics, more people with lots of money who don't give a darn about us. Also on the news, last week we talked about Charles Mendazi. Well, I can't say this man's name. Charles Mendazi, who is currently an alder person on the City of Madison Common Council and has been arrested for domestic violence. And there's been a lot of conversations on social media and other conversations and even conversations within City Council that has been, for lack of better words, rooted in sexism, misogyny, the hate of women, and this love for abusive men. And how we will victimize the victim over and over again and act like we're not doing that. And I also want to acknowledge all the women that have come forth. It's 7 women total. He has been charged with kidnapping, physical violence,
Strangulation.
Breaking and entering. All kind of stuff man has been charged with. So we're going to talk about that today. And all the folks who have... supported him and continue to support him. And this is a perfect example where race makes no difference. So today, in connection with that conversation, we're going to talk about white people and black skin, especially those who sit on the city council. I said what I said and I mean what I mean, okay? I'm so tired of y'all. I am so tired of how y'all be just placating to the bull crap. And some of y'all is elders. Like, y'all should know better. I would think y'all was around with the civil rights movement and otherwise, but I have come to find that our elders who have, not all of y'all, big up to the people who have done the work in our community and continue to do the work, not saying all of us, because some of us are really good people and do it from the place of love, but there are some people that currently sit on our city council, and white, black, white people. It's a couple of y'all, and I'm going to name you today because I'm so tired of y'all. So anyway, moving on. So we're going to talk about that. I didn't say it, Luke. I did not say it. I said, shh.
Right, you're going to get in trouble for cussing this time, not me.
You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Don't mind me today. I'm a little heated. Also, we're going to talk about the charter school that's coming to Madison, the proposal. Yeah. So we're going to get into that discussion. Oh, what another show that's been that took place the other day. I think it was Tuesday.
I don't remember. It was a couple of days ago.
Where's today? Okay, it don't matter. It was this week. Yeah. And there was an engagement session with the McKinseys, who are funding this project, along with Oscar was on it. Oscar, what is Oscar's last name? He was the...
Morales.
Yeah, Morales? Oscar Morales. He was the ED of Omega Schools. He sat on the panel. They brought in some guy named Jeffrey. He looks like Jeffrey from Fresh Prince. Y'all remember... You remember Jeffrey from Fresh Prince?
I'm not doing this with you. I'm not.
Y'all remember Jeffrey from Fresh Prince? He was the house person, but that dude looked just like him. He was like 4'8", 4'9", from Ohio, Cleveland.
Which is irrelevant.
No, because y'all need the whole...
Y'all need the whole picture.
I am. I'm being petty, too. I'm so bothered.
Come on.
So, okay, move me along, April. Thank you, friend. Be in my mirror. So this guy, Jeffrey, I don't know who is this. Jennifer Jeffrey. I don't know his name. But... So anyway, he's from Cleveland, Ohio. He was supposed to facilitate the conversation. We don't know who he is.
LaTanya was supposed to facilitate.
Well, there was two facilitators. There was LaTanya and then him. And then the McKinseys. And then Oscar was on the panel.
Corinda.
And then Corinda came in, but I was gone. She was about an hour,
right,
20 minutes.
Left.
I had already left.
Had
so
already
she
left.
Was there. So we're going to talk about that T2 and my experience from my perspective and just the whiteness of it all and how people known as black in this community placated to the money in the room, which is probably why I don't do well in Madison as it relates to being invited to these spaces. I don't know why the hell they invited me anyway. They were out their minds. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get into all the tea of all those topics, because I've been talking about all what we're going to cover, let me check in with my girl, April Kageya, who sits on the county board, supervisor, district
15.
Look, she wasn't even excited. 15.
Because you should know this by now.
I can't remember it all. It's a lot of information, April.
Oh, but you sure remember
me.
All that information, but whatever.
I did, because I'm ready.
Clearly. I see where your priorities are.
Okay, so you tell me. How are you doing, boo-boo?
I'm good. We were talking about this for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So I'm not really excited. That's not the right word. But
okay.
I'm looking forward to this conversation because it's a lot of messiness, a lot of trauma, a lot of stuff that's happening in our community all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there's one narrative, and I think there needs to be other narratives shed on it. So
yeah,
we're going to get into it.
Absolutely. We're going to do all of that. And me, I'm doing okay today. It's been a heck of a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It's the end of the year for us. Where I am the CEO of Urban Triage, a nonprofit organization. So we're on this fiscal January to December. So at the end of the year, we get all these audits, all these open records requests, all these last minute contract requests, all these folks who want to catch us up or something. It's just weird. Like, they ask us for the dumbest things. Hey, you have a receipt. There's a charge for $2 that you asked us to reimburse. Can you find that receipt from 1995? It's $2.35 from PB. Okay. It's probably some bread, or I don't know what it is, but
it's business for you.
So anyway, that's what we've been doing all week, trying to catch up on all the little because it's big tasks, a lot of administrative tasks before we go on break. Urban Triage is closed from December 23rd through January 3rd, returning January 6th. So if you need services, housing services, emergency services, and you're trying to reach Urban Triage, please feel free to email us at info@urbantriage.org. That's info@urbantriage.org. We will be checking our emails and responding to matters that are of urgency. So even though we're closed, I'm always at work. So I will be in the office working along with my director of programming. So shout out to all of our executive folks who have to work during the vacation. And I also encourage them to...
What?
They do, because the work still continues. They get to have days off still, but there's so much we have to prepare for. We can't just like not go to work, right? But the positive thing is I won't be back to back in meetings like I am every day of my life. So I have the opportunity to actually catch up on paperwork, administrative, and contract things, which is a lot of work for Urban Triage. So big up to our staff that'd be working over the weekend. I mean, the vacation, they will get double pay because, you know, that's how we do. We do take care of our folks however we can. And we are still looking for staff for our overnight position at our transitional housing residents located on the north side of Madison, looking for two part-time people. We're interviewing people, but it's just, I just want to make sure we have the right folks, young folks, people maybe in college and fellowships looking to work with vulnerable populations. Our house will start off with three people max. So three teenagers or young people, I'm sorry, not teenagers, but young folks who are transitioning from foster care into their life, right? So they'll be at the transitional house. We'll provide wraparound support, and then we'll help them get stabilized in permanent housing, helping them do all the job readiness stuff, personal and trauma recovery stuff. So, you know, apply at urbantriage.org, urbantriage.org. So yeah, I'm bigging up me before we get into all this tea, because we got a lot of tea to discuss. Is there anything you want to big up right now?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay, because April be on some bull crap anyway. Y'all, no, you know.
What's that mean?
Okay, you guys, you are listening to 92.7 FM, and she is supposed to be getting ready for her wedding, and she is not doing that. And now we're like 8 months out, and I haven't gotten any updates. I haven't gotten anything relating to her wedding. So that's what I mean. She'd be on some bull crap. You know, I'm really a doer. So if you're my friend and you want me to do something, show up and be there, I need the information up front so we can be properly prepared. Okay. So that's what I mean. She'd be on some bull crap, but we'll get to her.
And Luke wonders
later.
Why I don't show up.
See?
I didn't say I didn't wonder why. I don't wonder why you don't show up. I just know that you're not here. That's all. There's a difference.
Luke is like, I watch her attack you. I feel attacked for you, April. I know that's why you don't show up and be the co-host. So anyway, you guys, you want to stay tuned for the tea. We're going to talk about that guy, Charles Mandizi, whatever his name is. Whatever his name is. Alder person, the domestic abuser, the violent person. We're going to check the people who have been trying to check the victims. We're tired of it. We're going to talk about the new charter school and the school shooting. And let's talk about all the black people in white skin, or the white people in black skin. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. We'll be back in a jiff.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high-interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Hey.
All right. Your hostess with the mostest is back, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're listening to The Black Conversion Show with my co-host,
April Kigea.
All right, we're going to get right into it. We want to talk about your guy, Charles Mondesi. I don't know his name. What's his name, April?
Mondesi. I think. I don't know.
Shoot. Luke can't stand you.
Sorry, Luke. Sorry, Luke.
Okay, y'all, let's talk about this guy. So he is an older person. He's been in office for a few years, right? When was he elected? Like
2 years ago, maybe?
Was it two years ago? All I know is he beat my girl, Rebecca Kimball, out of the seat. She was the incumbent, and he won. And I was absolutely in disbelief that they chose this underqualified man. Now, y'all know I'm always pro-black. Black, black, black car, black dog. I'm lying. My dog, Brown.
That's okay. All right.
Black shoes. I'm just kidding.
So anyway. You wearing some Tims, but okay.
When you're a liar and get caught. But anyway, so he's a black man. He's an older person. And I'm usually for black people, hands down, 100%. But I was never for this black man. And the reason being is because my take on him is that he was ignorant, you know, and was mediocre. And he did not have a solid analysis around white supremacy and or what was needed for people known as black and vulnerable people. And when he was running against my girl, Rebecca Kimball, I was like, my girl, Rebecca, is more qualified than him because I've worked with her. And of course, white people, we're not all perfect in our political views or stands, but I really respected the work that she was doing on the North Side and her support of social justice. And then y'all elected this
man.
And this particular man-child, has been allegedly, because you can't, you know, we don't have facts, but we know facts. Well, he has been accused by seven women of domestic violence, right? He is currently in Dane County Jail. I don't know if
he
was released.
Oh, yeah, Lord, on a signature bond. He's out.
They didn't release this man on signature bond. So he is charged with 8 felonies, including burglary, committing battery, substantial battery, 3 counts of strangulation and suffocation. The online records show that he was handed a signature bond. Well, there you go, with an initial appearance this Monday. And according to the complaint, Gloria Reyes, old deputy mayor, ex-deputy mayor, she also just ran for mayor last term. Mm-hmm. And she's also was a police detective, I believe, with the Madison Police Department. And she was also the ED of Briar Patch. So she's held a lot of different positions.
And former school board president.
And former school board president of MMSD. So she's been a community leader and voice for a long time. And I know she was in a relationship with this man for a few years. And I want to speak particularly about this. So according to the records and the documents, the incidents of abuse occurred during her relationship with him between 2008 and 2021. Now, also during this
2018, right?
Yeah, 2018. My bad. 2018 and 2021. And during this time, also last year, another woman came forward, Michelle. Sure. Two women came forward, and they must have been messing with the guy afterwards or during, but you know
there
how that is.
A little overlap.
You know how that go.
Yeah.
And people be messy. But yeah. Anyway, they also claimed abuse from this man. And at that time, our community like shut them down. They were like, no way, you guys are always coming against black men. Mm-hmm. And this is just unheard of. And then when Gloria came forward in her Madison 365 article, and let's just shout out Gloria Reyes for being brave and her courage. Sis, I stand with you. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for being the voice. I know how hard it had to be to share, just that is personal, right? Yeah. And then when you're a leader in the community and seen as a voice of the community, often we have a different expectation of leaders than we do ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So some people on social media and other platforms have been criticizing Gloria for the fact that she showed up and she came forth now, and has really accused her of being responsible for him being an alder person, and that claiming that he only became an alder person because of his relationship to her and her connections, and how she should really be ashamed of herself for allowing this abusive man to take office.
Which is disgusting.
What's your thoughts around that, April? You know, because I could go on, but go ahead, April.
First of all, Gloria, like the fact that you even had to come forward, number one, because that's a very private and personal thing. And she experienced so much trauma in and of itself mm-hmm. during that time. And the fact that she had to come out and relive it mm-hmm. just to prove a point is, number one, shows what's wrong with our society. Number two, I don't understand how there's all this victim blaming. Like, she literally is the victim. She sent pictures. She had emailed herself in real time when things were happening. Mm-hmm. Pictures, dates, here's what happened today, whatever. All that was sent in. But yet now it's her fault because she's exposing him.
It's always our fault. Like, and that's why women don't want to come forth.
And that's exactly mm-hmm. why there's a lot of unreported mm-hmm. domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it, this was sickening, and I'm going to digress and I'm going to come back real quick. Again, you're listening to the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM. We are talking about Charles Mendizi, whatever his name is. He's an alder person accused, charged with 8 felony counts of domestic abuse, burglary, and strangulation. I'm going to digress and point out this thing that I heard the other day on BBC? That news station about this dude in France, in Europe, who was giving his wife drugs and allowing men to come into their home and rape her. Have y'all heard of that?
I heard about that this morning.
Over 50 men slept with his wife unconsciously, and she had no idea. Yep. And the way that she discovered it was by going through his phone on accident, because he recorded it and took pictures. And that's how she found out that her husband had set her up to be raped. But one of the most scariest things is that the men that were raping her at night, and they can only validate 50, but they think it was well over 100, right? But the reason they were able, the men that was doing the acts lived in their neighborhood. So it was 100 men, almost 100 men that lived in proximity of her neighborhood that participated in raping this woman for years, y'all. So I point that out to say that our society, whether you're talking about the United States or otherwise, is rooted in misogyny and patriarchy. So when we talk about men and the hate of men and the rape culture and the discrimination towards women, it's real. And it's scary that she could live in a neighborhood where almost 100 men would agree to rape her.
Right.
And then they come back and say, yeah, I raped her, but I thought it was okay. It's sick. It's crazy. So let's get back to Charles, right? So when we say, how can people make her the victim? Y'all really hate women anyway. And that's why women, that's why Kamala lost. You know what I mean? Like, we hate women. And we specifically hate Black women. And then we hate brown women next to Black women. Well, actually, Native American, Indigenous women next to Black women. But that's a whole nother conversation. But I just want to say to everybody who is making Gloria the problem, that real life, you're the problem, and that you really need to look at yourself and look at how you see women. Now, some people are having multiple conversations in one. Oh, she should have did this as a leader. She should have did that as a leader. Unless you've walked in someone's footsteps or done the work or accomplished what they have accomplished, sit down and shut up. And another thing I want to point out is people are mad at her because they're saying, like, as a leader, when she was running for mayor, she should have said something.
That's her personal business.
Y'all would have ate her up. And ain't no way y'all would have been like, oh, she's a strong and durable woman by allowing herself to be abused. Y'all accuse us for being abused all the time. And then a woman in leadership, you're seen as weak and all kind of stuff to allowing her. You let your man do this. Do you really let men abuse you?
And then if she would have brought it up then, they would be like, oh, you're just trying to get sympathy votes.
That part.
So it's a lose-lose situation.
Or you're trying to bring down another Black man. Right. So let's continue this conversation in a minute, and let's talk about this charter school that they proposed to come to Madison, led by rich money, rich white people, for the hope to Captain Save Black Children. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. You want to stay for this tea with your girl, Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest, and
April Kigaya.
We'll be back in a jiff. Hey,
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A holiday market in Germany turned into a deadly scene when a driver rammed his car through the crowd last night in Magdeburg. At least five people killed, 200 reported injured, 40 seriously. ABC's Tom-Sophie Burridge at the scene.
The scene of that horrific attack has been completely closed off. Police here keeping us back. Germany's leader, Olaf Scholz, saying dozens more of the victims are now fighting for their lives. German officials are not yet calling this a terrorist attack, and there has been no comment from police on the suspect's motive.
President Biden has just signed a stopgap funding bill passed by Congress overnight. The bill avoids a government shutdown just before the holidays. Missing from the deal is President-elect Trump's demand for a debt ceiling increase. The FDA approving the weight loss drug Zepbound to help treat sleep apnea. It's the first medication for the disorder, which affects about 39 million Americans. The FDA calling it a major step forward. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bucks basketball tonight. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Washington Wizards tonight at Fiserv Farm in Milwaukee. The Bucks back from Cleveland, where they lost last night to the first place Cavaliers, 124-101. Cleveland has added bigger players to their roster. They've now beat the Bucks three times in a row this season. Giannis Antetokounmpo after the loss.
Yeah, it's definitely harder. You know, it's harder for you to get offensive rebounds, take possessions. They show a lot of crowd. It's hard for you to drive and kick. So yeah, they definitely make it harder for a lot of teams. Is this the last game of the season against them?
One more.
So yeah, it's good. It's a good challenge. You know, I'm excited to see them again.
NFL, the Packers face the Saints on Monday Night Football. Jaire Alexander trying to come back after missing the last month with a knee injury. Second year man Carrington Valentine on how the Packers defense has improved.
Yeah, that we're trending the right way. As long as we keep keep practicing hard, you know, keep doing what we do, sky's the limit.
That's Packers defensive back Carrington Valentine with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the low 20s. 11 tonight under mostly cloudy skies. Partly sunny and 32 for Sunday. Chance of rain and snow on Monday. It'll be mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 30s. For Tuesday, partly sunny and a high near 35.
Right now, 12 degrees.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In the bedroom with 92.7. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with our sexy DJ on the other end, Luke.
Right? trying to put us to sleep with that music?
I was just playing a little Chance.
Okay. All right, I'll get some more upbeat Chance next. I'm sorry. My bad. My apologies.
Look, I was about to start from before. Right? Oh my God. Okay, don't do that. All right, thank you guys for tuning back in. Prior to break, we were talking about your boy Charles Madudu. He is the older person.
Oh, don't be disrespectful, Brandy. Come on.
What is his name?
Mandazi.
He's already disrespected us all.
No, I understand.
Okay, so Mandazi. Okay, so anyway, prior to the break, we were talking about him and his charges, right? He's facing 8 counts of felonies. I want to bring up this article that's posted on, what is it called, April?
Tome Madison.
And they're describing the consensus or the response or the reaction of other council people to him. So they wanted, or they were trying to vote. What were they voting on, Luke, that day?
Looks like they were voting on a resolution to censure the...
What does censure mean anyway?
Basically, to have him removed.
Okay, censure. That's such a big word for people. C-E-N-S-U-R-E means removed. Censure. Okay, great. So they're voting to have him removed from council. And the people that I would think that would stand up and say, yeah, let's censor him, or not censure or censor, but no, remove censure. Him. Yeah. Yeah. Voted against him or didn't vote at all. One of the older people I want to point out is your girl, Nazara, who often says, I stand for Black women and I stand for women. And I just want you to know that as a person of Blackness in a woman, that's a woman that I do not trust. And this is why I always say, skin folk ain't always kinfolk. And when we talk about political justice, go with the people that have analysis and whose objective is to stand with those who are most vulnerable. And she ain't one of them. And sis, I've already cussed you all out before when you called my phone talking about, girl, let me support you. Tell me why you laundered the money when Cap Times wrote that
wait,
girl,
what?
Violent article about urban trash. Girl, I ripped her a new booty hole from left to right. What? And talking about, I am your Black sister. Black where? Huh? On the bottom of your feet? So anyway, moving on. In that same conversation.
No, let's not move on. Because by her and Vladimir, what's her first name again? That's your friend.
Who?
Vladimir Burris. Yeah. Is one of the older.
Is Caroline? Carol?
No.
Let me look farther up enough.
Anyways, the fact that those two abstain from voting, they're hiding.
Yeah.
And that is a vote. Because if you're not going to say yes or no.
To decide is to decide. And not to decide is to decide.
Because you're basically saying, I'm too scared to put my stance out
or
there.
Or I actually am supporting him, but I'm too scared to say it out loud. Yep.
Or I don't want to support, but I'm too scared to say it for the other people. Like, you're not standing for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a Black woman and... I guess Nazra considered Black?
She say she Black girl, but she. I'm just gonna leave it there.
Two women of color.
Mm-hmm. But not even
sat
that.
Sat there in the meeting that went until 12:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. and heard Michelle had to go up and relive her trauma in front of him with Charles right there, 20 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Had to relive what happened.
To convince
you. And then you have glorious stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you still going to say, oh, but I still support him. Like, it's all a lie.
That's why you know.
And it's a political assassination. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what?
What? And then the Black man, Isidore Knox. But you know, Isidore Knox, he sits on the Common Council too, but he always vote anything other than Black. I don't care if it's like, let's give Black children food. He'd be like, no way, let's keep it to the white elders. Like, he's weird in that fashion. But he's also another person in that article who basically said, this is assassination of his character. What? So forget what all the women are saying. Forget all the facts and the documentation of the abuse and the evidence. Over 8 women, 7 women, whatever, came forward, and you still saying that it's an assassination of his character. And then also, let's get on your girl, Barbara McKinney, who sits on the city council.
Yeah, what did she say, Luke?
Girl, she said it was genocide. That the way that people were treating him was very similar to, what'd she say?
She said that the censure supporters convicted Mandazi and that the censure was outside of what should be considered.
But she also said it was like genocide or something, Genesis, or she compared
not
it to...
Not even close.
Inquisition is what one of the... Isidore Knox, Alder Knox, was referring to it as a political assassination and an inquisition.
Y'all, so this is the problem with Madison. And this is why I tell y'all, people are like, we need representation. No, what we need is people in positions of influence and power who, one, are going to stand always with the most vulnerable in the room, right? Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandy Grayson.
April Kigaya,
my co-host. Okay, and we're talking about the bull crap with our city council, Madison, Wisconsin. And the thing is, y'all, I believe in representation, but I also believe in education, all right, and a proper analysis. And too often in Madison, people are so more concerned with how they look and pleasing and placating to whiteness and patriarchy and misogyny that they fail to stand up for the truth and justice and equity. So to all of y'all, we see you, my dog. And another thing, to the people...
Well, hold on, to that point, though, because you could also be, speaking of representation, you could also be Black, but have a very close proximity to whiteness.
That part.
And not even operate or be in Black spaces.
That part.
So you don't represent Black folks.
That part.
So, like you said, Rebecca would have been a better person to represent that community because she actually worked in the community.
And she's white.
Yeah, right. And she's but that's my point. It doesn't matter. You could be white or Black. It's about what you do and your values.
And your analysis.
Yeah.
And who you stand for. I stand for all people who are the most vulnerable, who falls in that intersection in the conversation, right? And sometimes the people aren't actually Black people. Maybe we're having the conversation about trans people and they should be centered in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you have to have the proper analysis to always stand shoulder to shoulder with the folks who are the most impacted. And the conversation around Charles, the most impacted is women, and especially abused women, folks who, and most women are abused or are, who have experienced domestic violence. It is sickening that our city council and folks that I would think would stand up for the most vulnerable were unable to do that and to do their job. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Again, big ups to all the women who came forth. You are brave. We appreciate you. We stand with you, right? And I can't say what I want because Luke gonna get mad, but and we're just gonna transition to another conversation, okay, you guys? But read the articles from Tone Madison, read the articles on Madison 365, look up the information. It's out there, okay?
If you're listening to the podcast right now, I will be linking the Tone Madison piece to the podcast.
All right. Thanks, Luke. Now moving on, let's talk about some more tea in our neighborhood. Oh, before we do that, have you guys heard about the oil spill in Jefferson County? There was 70,000 gallons of oil spilt in the land by, what is the name of the corporation? Ugh, I was reading it and can't freak. I messed it up. But anyway,
I believe it's Enbridge.
Yeah, and there was a valve that broke that had been leaking for years. So this particular pipe was made and built in 1973. So it's over 50-something years. So first of all, it wasn't getting the proper maintenance. And then after it started leaking, they did nothing. And now we have 70,000 gallons of oil in our land.
And they knew it was leaking?
And they knew it was leaking. That's the crazy part about it. Jeez. But again, money in our community buys like the ability to destroy our land, destroy everything. It's just capitalism. Like if you have money, you can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever.
You can harm children. You can harm women. If you hold political influence, we will give you a pass. That's what society keeps saying. I mean, we did vote for Trump and now y'all going to suffer in about a year or two, but that's a whole nother conversation. Anything you want to add about that, April?
No, I want to talk about the school situation.
Okay, yeah, let's move on then. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show at 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
April Kigaya.
So there has been a proposal, you guys, to start a new charter school in the Madison area. This week, there was a community engagement section held. I was in attendance. April Kigaya was in attendance. Dana Pellebaum was in attendance. Oscar Morales was in attendance. Corinda, all these people are community folks. Kaleem Kerr, he is the founder and CEO of One City, another charter school. We also had the ED, executive director of River Food Pantry. She was there. Mm-hmm. There's a couple teachers there. My girl Christina from Maidem was there, the ED of Maidem, Black woman. Rose Thompson was there. Mm-hmm. She is the founder of Black Girls Magic. Yep. And there was a whole bunch of college students there. And then Clyde Brian was there, our other co-host that did not show today. He was there. And then Michael Johnson was there, CEO of Boys and Girls Club. So there was a room full of people, right? And I was invited into this space by one of the facilitators and organizers, LaTanya, someone who I love. That's the person that we were talking about her wedding a couple weeks ago and how spectacular it was. Like, girl, it was Black excellence and Black brilliance all over Madison. So she reached out and invited me, and I asked her twice, are you sure you want me there? Because that's the question I always ask. Like, do you know who I am? Right? So I am Brandi Grayson, the Black woman who will always show up centering the needs, voices of those who are most vulnerable, right? So it's really hard for me to be in spaces and not speak my mind. So that's why I was like, are you sure, girl? Because
Like, do you know what you asking for? Because Brandy was there, Clyde was there, Michael Johnson was there. Mm-hmm. Like, just those three together.
Yeah, probably not a good look. So
probably not a.
First, I wanna frame this with the understanding that I respect Michael Johnson, right? Because I feel like yesterday there was, the other day or whatever, there was some feelings about me. So this is the thing you have to understand about Brandi Grayson. I will always speak my mind. The truth that I speak is not for the purpose or intention of division. It is the truth. It's how I experience. It is my perspective based off my experience as a leader in the community. And guess what? A hell of a one. I'm a really good leader. I do what I do and I deliver on our words and I always center the people that we aim to serve, which is Black people and families. So this is it. I go to this section, right? This community section was supposed to be a community engagement section.
Engagement and feedback.
And feedback. Tell me what your definition of that is, April Kageya.
So for me, so first of all, I was invited by Dana Pelabon. I thought, I didn't even know it was a feedback session. I thought we were going to hear about this proposal for this potential school in conjunction with the McKenzie's and the Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. Because Michael Johnson was the center of it. When we got there and I saw that it had feedback on the form, I was like, okay, so to me that means...
You're coming to listen.
You're coming... They're coming to listen
right.
to us.
Right.
Because it was mainly Black leaders in the room. They clearly want us as the audience. They want to know what we think about this proposal. Mm-hmm. Very soon, it was evident that they had already put in a proposal to MMSD. So it was so confusing because, like, you want us here to talk about something that, number one, you already decided. Number two, and maybe this would have happened differently, because I know at the beginning it was not organized. There was no introductions. There was no whatever. And that's one thing. When you interrupt me, you were like, well, first of all,
who are you?
John, who are you? Like, you're talking, you're giving us your backstory. We don't even know who you are. So there might have been a PowerPoint with what the school is. But I left at not knowing anything about this school other than what they said was they want to center Black children. Other than that, what are the grades? And when is it starting? What is the proposal? How are
Where's
you doing
it located?
Outreach? Where is it located? Like, zero about that. But they wanted to get our feedback. And then as we started to give feedback.
Oh, he was bothered.
Oh, my goodness.
This white man was bothered. So
he was so defensive.
He was so defensive. So let's talk about this. John McKenzie and his wife are millionaires. They own most of the Boys and Girls Club, right? So they donate to everything. Their name is on everything. Mike and the McKenzies are best friends. They vacation together. They're cool like that, right? And I understand that he has relationships with a couple Black people. Because, you know, when white people get Black friends, they name them in all conversations for credibility and legitimacy. So the conversation started at 3 o'clock, right? And at 3:45, this is when I could not take it. If you know anything about me, Brandi Grayson, I have a hard time being in the space listening to bullcrap and anti-Blackness. So he starts off talking, no introduction. We have no like understanding of why we're here. And he starts talking about him and all who, like, not his name, not what how he made his money, but all the great things he's done as a white man with his money, right? And all the accolades that him and Michael Johnson has accomplished. We raised $31 million for this. We've done this with money. We're going to raise this kind of money. We're going to do this. And, you know, we're national for this. And then he starts giving us data on Black children and then
but
starts
how poor they are in our community.
What? And then start telling us how poor Black children is and what Black children need. And, you know, one of the things they need is internships, and that's what we're going to be working on.
And the trades. And I'm like, you're speaking to Black mothers, number one.
Oh, girl, you're speaking to the choir.
Like, what?
What are you talking about right now? Read the room, John. And that's just what I raised my hand and said, read the room, dude. Like, this is not how you engage Black community. This is not, you don't start off talking about how awesome you are as a white rich dude with privilege and how sad you were to see these poor Black people and children suffer. I thought I was watching a Haiti thing, especially on animals. You know how they'd be like, yep, the poor little dog, please donate
for $9.45 a month. Yeah. You too could be a sponsor.
What? No. I was so offended, y'all. So more when we come back on 92.7 FM Black Conversion Show. What we're talking about is this new charter school proposal. We only got a few more minutes, but I got to tell you a little bit more tea when we return. Your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, and the girl, it was just so much anti-Blackness and unawareness in this space. And now you mad at me and offended? Let's talk about it when we return.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hi, this is John from the John and Gordy Morning Show. Dane County Humane Society believes pets make wonderful gifts for those ready to welcome a new family member. Before getting someone a pet, Dane County Humane Society recommends discussing what they're looking for. Even better, offer to take them to the Dane County Humane Society to find their new companion. This way, you can be part of the process, and they can experience the magic of finding their new best friend. Learn more at giveshelter.org.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I feel like I'm in one of the movies with the people.
Right.
Thank you for listening to the Black Conversion Show. We are back on 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandy Grayson.
Yeah.
All right. Prior to the break, we were talking about the BS with this school system. Not the school system, this proposal for a charter school in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, our experience is based on our interactions with the sponsors and the funders of the school and the proposed funders, which is the McKinseys.
And how they reacted to us. The whole point was you wanted us to give you feedback.
Yes.
We started to give feedback and suggestions.
Ooh,
there were
baby.
Very experienced people in the room who, for one, Kaleem has run a charter school. He's gone through the process of the MMSD. He might know a thing or two.
He is the template.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
Dr. Christina was also giving feedback. And then it's like, as soon as those things started to happen,
he was mad.
So defensive.
His whiteness.
And started shutting people down. And it's like, can you not listen to us and hear us without having to respond?
His whiteness was all over the place. He got in his chest. He was so offended by people responding by saying, hey, we need you to listen. We need you to show up differently. We need you to understand who you're speaking with. And you know what he said? My life has been enriched by the Black people I've been around. Michael Johnson.
Hey, I hang out with Corey now.
Yeah, he did. I hang out with Corey now. I said, ooh. And what did I say, April? What did I say? I said, yeah, Black people have the tendency of enriching your life when you're around them. Like, what is you talking about right now, white man?
But not only that, like, that is racist in and of itself. You're going to name two Black men? And that's I got two Black friends. But how about the Black mothers and the other people in the room who actually live this day to day, who raise children, who have gone through the school systems ourselves?
Yes.
Like, we might be the ones that you need to actually listen to.
And I was so bothered, y'all. It felt like, and then just for reference, so I did make a post on my Facebook. Please visit me at Facebook, Brandy Grayson.
Oh my gosh.
I did make a post and say, like, I felt like the energy I felt in that room was everybody was soft, like, real gentle with this white dude. Like, okay, like, people wasn't even aggressive. I was the antagonist. Like, it was me.
But you always are, baby.
I am. Thank you very much. That is the role I love to play. But I was the antagonist, right? And everyone else was gently holding his hand. And he was so offended, so bothered. And people just tiptoeing around him. And that's the piece that bothered me the most. Not white people being white people. White people are white people-ing all the time, especially when they don't have enough experience with Black people and Black culture and social justice and equity, or haven't taken the time to educate themselves or build the analysis. I get that. I can handle it. But what infuriated me the most is how we held space for it. But then we turn around and drag someone like Gloria Reyes for coming forth because of her abuse. You see how we choose people and pick and choose how we show up and how we put out our chest and put our shoulders back? We get real loud when you want to drag women or other Black people, but let a white man sit in front of you who can write a check. Oh my goodness, you bowing your head. Yes, master. I know that's sad, master. We didn't mean to offend you, master. What can we do for you? That's what I felt in that space.
And that master comment, like you like we talked about yesterday, was not directed to one particular person.
No, not at all.
However,
at all.
On your Facebook post, you wrote what you said, mm-hmm. and then Michael Johnson made a post, and at the end of his post, he said, "I am no one's master." So he internalized that,
yes.
and just assumed you were talking about him, but you were not. You were
not.
Talking about the culture
yes.
and the climate of what was happening in that space.
Right, and how we too often placate to whiteness and money. So I just want to say, I hope and I pray that if this charter school go forth, is that they turn out and they do better. They hear the words that were being said and stop being offended. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because yep. that's what it means to do the real work. As someone who does the work in my community, people have to check me all the time. They always have to be my mirror. My staff check me. My friend checks me. And it's uncomfortable when you have to look at yourself. But that is a requirement of doing the work in vulnerable communities. When people check me about my own homophobia or my own misunderstanding of trans and gender and all of that stuff, I couldn't sit back and get offended. I had to listen, and I had to listen with, you know, open ears, and then go back and do the processing and educating myself. So to all the folks who desire to push this charter school forward, that is what we're saying to you. Don't get mad. Don't talk about it's divisive because people have feelings and because white people showed up white peopling without the cultural competence or the analysis of how white supremacy and power dynamics are always active. Don't get defended by it. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We are discussing this proposal for a new charter school led by the McKinsey. Most of the board is white. Am I wrong?
You're right. But the other thing I wanted to say, too, was it was very frustrating that they kept saying this is for Black children, mm-hmm. but they're not allowing the Black people,
Black mothers,
specifically Black mothers mm-hmm. who have experience raising these said Black children
who
that you want to support
the Black
have
children.
Raised and raised.
Yeah.
Because Brandy and I both have raised kids who have gone through the MMSD.
Absolutely.
And I currently have kids still in MMSD. Like, and Brandy and I went through MMSD. Mm-hmm. Like, you would think that you would at least heed at least a little bit of what we're saying. And so the fact that white people are coming to say, hey, we're building this for your people, mm-hmm. but oh yeah, no, but we don't really want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Oh, but then when you do talk, well, I'm gonna get offensive to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's our experience.
Yeah.
You can't get mad at our experience.
Yeah, and you can't accuse the folks who are showing up to engage in the conversation as being divisive. That's divisive in nature, right? If folks show up and say, hey, Urban Trash, we need you to do this differently and better, we listen, right? Unless it's rooted in racism or the harm of our vulnerable population. But y'all, we have to do better. We have to do better at holding our white counterparts accountable. And then someone said, hey, we always running people away who want to help us. Come on now. Just because they're coming with the
with
bag
the
and the money don't mean they get not to be held accountable.
Money's
you
not
have
everything.
To know what you are aiming to do. What is the objectives of these schools? How are you going to meet said objectives? And when you came to do engagement with Black people, I said the most easiest thing, let me teach y'all something real quick for my listeners and folks who want to do community engagement, because that's kind of what we do for a living, or what I do for a living, and how we got to be so successful as a Black-led organization. Let me give you one tip that can be very helpful for anyone who wants to lead or facilitate a conversation with people known as Black. Use the POP method, okay? POP. You always want to start with your purpose. Then you want to start with the outcomes. What is the outcome of this engagement session? And then you want to identify the process that you're going to use to do it. And then the next thing you want to do is make sure you're centering the people that you're engaging so that everybody get an opportunity to interact. Everybody gets an opportunity to provide their thoughts and to be seen and heard. Because again, that is a requirement and a need of all humans, but especially those who are most disenfranchised and those who are most impacted by racism. All right. Any last thoughts, April?
Jeez. I walked away from that like, what the heck is going on?
What is this?
And also, literally, what is this school?
What
because
is this?
We still didn't even get any
There's
information.
There's no answer.
There was no information.
Mm-mm.
And then I later learned that they had already submitted the proposal to MMSD. So it's like, so y'all already knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
So why are you bringing us into
yeah,
this
Yeah, you wasted my time.
Right. It's like false pretense.
Yeah.
Like, be honest with us.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. I feel like there was a lack of honesty and a lack of transparency.
Yeah, in the whole process. So like, get better, do better, center Black people, center Black voices, and stop pretending. How you gonna have a board with no Black people, no family, nobody telling you what we actually need in our community? And invest in one city. Don't start another charter
right.
school. This one is already underfunded. Again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandy Grayson and my co-host
April Kikea.
Until next week, y'all, hopefully by then we'll have more time. Peace, love, and hair grease.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
President Biden today signing the just passed by Congress extending government funding through March. That bill had been in through battles in the last few days. Millions of Americans hitting the road or airports today. AAA expecting a record number of travelers, but they'll also be dodging storms. ABC News meteorologist Samara Theodore has more.
This storm system arrives on Christmas Eve for cities like Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Syracuse, and Burlington. There we could see some snow. Remember, it takes at least 1 inch of snow on the ground by 6 a.m. on Christmas Day to be considered a white Christmas.
Authorities say the car attack at a Christmas market in Magdeburg, Germany is not a terror attack. At least five are dead, including a nine-year-old, and more than 200 others injured after a man, police say, drove his vehicle into the crowds. He's been arrested. Party City shuttering its remaining stores and told employees Friday that it was their last day. This is ABC News. In Indiana, Richard Allen, the man convicted Friday of the brutal murders of two teens in Delphi in 2017, was sentenced Friday to 130 years in prison. ABC's Alex Perez has reaction from the victims' families.
In the end, prosecutors say it was the two girls, Abby and Libby, who helped solve their